to see John.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're forced to go straight to the nursing home.
Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join our Bible class this evening, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Our scripture reading for this evening is coming from 1 Peter 3, 12 in the King James Version, where it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. And at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God. to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Do first things first. Our scripture reading is coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 in the CSB, where it says, "Therefore, get your minds ready for action, being self-disciplined." First things first. These words are easy to speak, but hard to put into practice. For busy women and men living in a demanding world, place first things first can be difficult indeed. Why? Because so many people are expecting so many things from us. If you're having trouble prioritizing your day, perhaps you have been trying to organize your life according to your own plans, not God's. A better strategy, of course, is to take your daily obligations and place them in the hands of the one who created you. To do so, you must prioritize your day according to God's commandments. And you must seek his will and his wisdom in all matters. Then you can face the day with the assurance that the same God who created our universe out of nothingness will help you place first things first in your own life. Do you feel overwhelmed or confused? Turn the concerns of this day over to God. Prayerfully, earnestly, and often. Then listen for his answer and trust the answer he gives. Sin is largely a matter of mistaken priorities. Any sin in us that is cherished, hidden, and not confessed will cut the nerve center of our faith. Have you prayed about your resources lately? Find out how God wants you to use your time and your money. No matter what it costs, forsake all that is not of God. There were endless demands on Jesus' time. Still, he was able to make that amazing claim of completing the work you gave me to do. John 17:4. And the NIV. Let's face it, none of us can do 1,000 things to the glory of God. And in our own vain attempt to do so, we stand the risk of forfeiting a precious thing. Think about this. Your Heavenly Father wants you to prioritize your day and your life. And the best place to start is by putting God first. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Lord, today is a new day. Help us finish the important tasks first. Even if those tasks are unpleasant, don't let us put off until tomorrow what we should do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So, at this time, I will play another selection. In the morning, it will be All Right by Prophet Wiggins. Praise God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him.
Hey.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside.
Darkness may come in the night.
Oh,
but in the morning.
Going through trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call on him and hear his voice speaking way deep down inside. He's saying,
we're going to spend a little bit, just a little time with Jesus. 1 Peter 4 and 8 in the NIV says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Amen. Praise be to God. Excuse me. Tomorrow is my 49th wedding anniversary. Kevin and I decided to get married on Valentine's Day in 1975, so we could be special Valentines. Of course, our marriage hasn't been perfect. Before you think, wow. They need large trophies for staying together this long. I'll tell you a secret. I still don't understand, Kevin. God wired our brains differently, and my husband often says things that make no sense to me. Once, as we sat on the couch and watch reruns of the Andy Griffith Show, Kevin suddenly said, "I think I did a good job today." I looked at him quizzically, where did that come from? Kevin went on to explain that his weekly sermon at a local nursing home had gone well. I asked what that had to do with Andy, Bonnie, and Aunt B. They're sitting on the front porch singing. It reminded me of church. I shook my head. After 49 years, I decided I did not need to identify with Kevin's sense of logic to stay in love with him. I suspect that Kev came to that same conclusion about me. Perhaps while we were on our honeymoon, we simply made a decision to love each other. Jesus never needed to decide to love us in spite of our sometimes wacky selves. Jesus loves us by his very nature. He is love. Even better, Jesus understands all of us, including me. He is the most special and perfect Valentine. Jeanette Levitt. Faith steps. Sing the children's song. Jesus loves me. And bask in his perfect love, even when it's not Valentine's Day. Amen. Praise be to God. And that is our 5 minutes with Jesus. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Eternal, all-sufficient God, there is so much power in your name. There is peace in knowing your name. You are all-sufficient in your name. By your name, you control the outcome of nations. You led the Israelites into freedom by assuring them that you are all-sufficient. How can we lift up your name in admiration when it is already so high? We are feeble, in our attempts to praise you, for you deserve praise of all creation and for all eternity. Yet you still accept our praise and desire it and sit enthroned upon it. O eternal, all-sufficient God, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So at this time, I will pray another selection, Jesus at the Center of It All. Praise be to God.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
is present over perfect. Philippians 3:12-15 in the ESV says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. The word of the Lord is already blessed. A lot of us give 110% every single day. We just want to do everything correctly, with no flaws, errors, or mistakes. And many days can go by with us actually believing that we are getting everything done with impeccable precision and excellence. But the truth is, perfection just isn't attainable for humans. There's no doubt we will falter. And the sad part is that when we do, the perfectionist inside just can't handle it. Before you know it, we are feeling like unworthy failures, letting negative self-talk run rampant in our minds. During these times, let's try to remember that there has only been one perfect being to have ever walked the earth, and his name is Jesus. No life is perfect, and no situation is perfect. Even if they seem to be that way on the outside, we cannot get everything done that we want to do and also have time for a million other things. Sometimes we can feel like we have failed when we don't get to accomplish or experience certain things. What if, instead of striving for perfection, we just do the best we can in each moment? What if we strive to be present in life instead of always doing 110%? What if we took a moment to call a friend or kiss our kids instead of running out to do X, Y, and Z? What if we learn to soak in the days, in the day we're given? What if we were fully present while out with our friends and family rather than wondering what's waiting for us back at work? Even though it may be hard to try to remove yourself from work when you're away from work, we all need balance in life. And when our minds are constantly consumed with these things concerning work, we cannot fully be present where we are. Give yourself grace today. Practice faithfulness over flawlessness. We learn from the scripture to forget what happened before and look forward to what lies ahead. You got this. How can you start practicing to be present in your life instead of striving for perfection, which is a hill we cannot climb? When we realize that we are imperfect beings, we can rest assured that there is a perfect someone who is making our path straight. When we start living in the present, our anxieties can be cast away, knowing God has us in his hands. You got this. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Eternal and all-sufficient God, you hold the world in your hands. You do not exist in time, but are before time and will be after time. I confess to you the finiteness of my mind. I confess my insufficiency in light of your all-sufficiency. Pardon the impatience I feel when something goes wrong at work or at home or in a relationship. Forgive my bitterness, my resentment, and my doubts that you are good, great, mighty, fair, and just. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
And he's able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen.
Amen.
He's able. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah. I come to let you know that my God is able. Able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Yes. Oh, I come to let you know. Oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able.
I think you don't know.
I said, I come to let you know that the God that I serve, he is able. Yes, he is, yes, he is. Able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able.
Sing it to them, heaven.
I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. To set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able. able to set you free. Oh yes, my God is able. Yeah. I came to let you know. He is able, whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able, my God, to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He is. He's able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger.
Your neighbor, tell him he's able. Come on, say he's able. He's able. Say able. Say able. Say able. Say able. Say
able.
Oh, able.
Able.
No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give Him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on His name. Cause He's able. Cause He's able.
Able,
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 able, Yes, I'm my God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yes. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. He's God that makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able.
Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless the name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled Misplaced Effort. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. And it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Throughout your life, have you ever felt as if you have needed to earn the right to be loved and accepted by others? I'll say this again. Throughout your life, have you ever felt as if you needed to earn the right to be loved and accepted by others? In this broken world, it's a natural conclusion. However, this type of thinking is actually destructive. When you relate to God, this is because your focus is on striving to earn the approval he has already given you instead of simply knowing the one who loves you. The end result of that approach to life is exhausting, self-defeating, effort, and unyielding frustration. No matter how much you sacrifice, it never fills the emptiness. Why don't your efforts work? Because Jesus has already declared it is finished. John 19 and 30. The acceptance you desire has already been provided. And acting as if you need to earn it actually shows disrespect to the gift your Savior has given. Therefore, my friend, stop striving. Look to Jesus, who loves you freely, and seek to know him. Acknowledge that you don't have to do a thing except receive what he is pouring out to you and praise him for his great gift. You need never have a love-starved heart again. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, forgive me for striving. Please show me your face. Help me know your heart and teach me to receive your love. Lord Jesus, I worship you. In your name, I pray. Misplaced effort. Amen, amen, and amen. And at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play our last selection for our sweet hour of prayer. To God be the glory.
Thou shalt not smite thee by day. told him, this is what I'm going to do.
Lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you so much. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Amen. Amen. You. Did you enjoy the snow?
I sure did. Me and Chico went out there early this morning playing in the snow. Well, he was playing.
Oh.
I wasn't. Huh?
Okay. It was pretty.
It was.
It was pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes. Chico. Oh, my God. How y'all doing, ladies?
We're doing fine. How are you?
Hi, Deaconess.
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice.
Yes, thank
Amen.
You.
Praise How was your you. Day?
Oh, my day was good. I'm starting to like being home.
Okay.
My agency. I let them know. Look, I need somebody. I need a job developer.
Nobody's okay. All right. So we're going to get started with prayer.
Yeah.
If our hearts and minds are clear, precious and heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble at this 7 o'clock hour,
yes,
just to give you praise, glory, and honor.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for waking us up
thank
this morning,
you,
starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a beautiful day, snowy, rainy in some parts, but beautiful nonetheless.
Yes.
Another day that you've
Whew.
Given us life.
Thank you.
Breath and strength. Mm-hmm. So God, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that's on the line. Bless each and every one in all of their situations. If there's a lack in anything, whether it's physical, mental, relational, spiritual, any way, Father God, I pray that you will bless them and keep them. Bless their families. Bless their going out and their coming in. And
yes.
increase our strength, Father God.
Thank you, God.
Continue
Thank
to
you.
Be who you are, the very essence of love And we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. But thank you for fixing situations, Lord, things that we know of, things that we haven't even heard of yet, and COVID-19 and wars and rumors of wars and Israel and Hamas and Egypt and Maui and any other place that there's trouble. Lord God, we thank you for fixing it. In the juvenile halls and in prisons and in homes, actually. Just help us, God. We thank you. Bless those who are sick and shut in. Bless the bereaved, Father God. We're hearing about them often. Amen. So we get you. Just ask that you comfort them and strengthen them and allow them to carry on and just remember the ones who have passed, Lord God, knowing that you know exactly what you're doing and you make no mistakes. So we thank you again for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your generosity, all of your benefits, Father God, your favor, your providential care of us. We thank you for sitting high and looking low and casting the devils out, Lord God. We thank you
in
all of these blessings. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. We ask all these blessings in the name of your Son, in the name of our Savior, the one and only, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Praise God.
Praise be to God.
All right. So we're going to pick up where we left off. Chapter 48. This is section 10 in our book. And section 10 called So Great a Salvation, and it's on page 319. And the name of this topic, chapter 48, is Some Introductory Considerations. We're talking about the scope of the subject. We're talking about the motives for salvation. Why did God do that? Why did he offer us salvation? Amen. So we're going to pick up that last section, section 2. Any questions?
No, I was just saying that, you know, he because he loved us so much and he didn't want us to perish. So he
Right. He sent his son and he came in his son. So he did come in flesh, in the flesh.
Amen.
So, number 2, the motives for salvation. Why should God want to save sinners? Why should he bear the pain of giving his only begotten son to die for people who have rebelled against his goodness? What could it possibly mean to God to have a family of human beings? Anyone want to comment on that?
I can say love. Just love all of mankind. Love.
You muffled.
He wants what's best for us. He didn't want to leave us living in our sins. He's a good God.
Amen.
All right. All right. And we continue to rebel against him. Knowing that he loves us, he sent his only begotten son to die for us, a son who took the sins of the world upon himself when he was sinless, and we still sometimes don't get it right. Amen. So number one, this was the greatest and most concrete demonstration of the love of God. His good gifts in nature and through his providential care, great as they are, do not hold a candle to the gift of his son to be our Savior. John 3:16 reminds us that his love was shown in his gift. And Romans 5:8 says that God proved conclusively that he loved us by the death of Christ. We talked about that before we look at 3:16.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Hallelujah.
Praise your holy name.
John 3:16.
3:16.
Loving us.
John 3:16.
People like us.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we who shall ever believe on him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen. Amen. And mine says in the message, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't do it all. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has since been under the death sentence without knowing it. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Amen? Yes. And that was actually 16 through 18 of John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next paragraph, the other verse, Romans 5:8, Evangelist, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. Let me get it. Romans 5:8 says, John acts. Come on. Five and eight says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Even in all our sins, he still sent his only Son to die for us.
Amen.
What a wonderful God.
Mm-hmm. What kind of love is that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The hallelujah
kind of
love.
Amen.
That's some kind of love. You know,
that's
I always think about how when in the new world, God says there's not going to be no more dying, no more crying. So different. But in this world, before I sacrificed my child, I think I hurt somebody. I killed somebody before I let anybody hurt my children. And that's just a feeling that we have here. We're going to have to go through a transformation.
Yes. Yes. And there's a scripture for that. Does anyone know that scripture?
No. What scripture?
That she just made reference to?
No.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So when we become believers, we are to be new creatures. We are to be changed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And mine reads from the message starting at verse 6 through 8 says, Christ arrived right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for the sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him.
What you think about that?
Wow. No greater love. His love is greater. We can love each other. We can love our loved ones, our children. But God has that agape love, and there's no greater love.
No greater love than agape love. That's right. Mm-hmm. And what is agape love, Valerie?
Well, it's love, omnipotent, very powerful.
What?
It's very powerful, the love.
Of course it's powerful. What is it?
God's love.
Yeah, we know that too. Evangelist, what is agape love?
It's unconditional, no matter
what. There you go.
Unconditional love.
Exactly. As bad as we are, as sinful
yes.
as we are, we have the
yes.
love of God who loves
yes.
us no matter what.
Woo!
That's agape love. And you're right, Valerie. It's powerful.
I think that we do have unconditional love, but it's selective. And God came for all to be saved.
Right.
And he loves
so that agape love coming from God is not selective.
Yeah, it's not.
His love reigns on the good and the bad. He's not choosing,
right.
Oh, you're better than that one, so I'm going to love you. And you're not so good, so I'm not going to love you. All right? That's agape love, unconditional love on all of his creation.
Yes.
Number two,
yeah,
salvation.
Everybody get a chance. Everybody get a chance. That's why our country is so blessed. They're knocking down the walls to get over here because they feel like anybody could get a chance. You know, God gives us all a chance to come to him and be saved.
Yes. Number two, salvation.
Nation. Well, it has nothing to do with God, but we're a blessed nation. We're considered a blessed nation.
Yes, we are.
Because people
all
come
about
over here,
we are considered
they do better
a blessed
than we
nation.
Do. Most, a lot of times, the foreigners succeed and have more and do better than we do because they've been coming from third world deprived nations. And coming over here to a blessed country and taking advantage of it. We take God for granted. We really
Some
do
of
take
us
God
do.
For granted. Even the believer.
Mm-hmm.
The believer is
okay.
one of the... Okay, go ahead.
Number two, salvation also gives God a display of his grace throughout all eternity. Ephesians 2 and 7. Get that for me, if you would, Valerie, when I get ready, I'll ask you for it. Each saved person will be a special trophy of God's grace forever.
Mm.
Can you hear that? Each saved person will be a special trophy of God's grace forever. Only redeemed human beings can provide this display. What does that line that I just repeated each saved person is a special trophy. What does that mean to you, Evangelist?
So it's saying that for every person that we bring to Christ, that they be it's like we're giving him a trophy, meaning
no.
that we're giving him. No,
go on.
It says each saved person will be a special trophy of God's grace. Oh,
right.
His grace.
Not that we bring, because again, who does the bringing? Who brings the, who does the drawing?
He does. God does.
Jesus. Jesus does the drawing. So each saved person will be a special trophy. He can put that, you know, on his mantle, on his fireplace mantle. Of the grace, of his grace forever. That's a, something he's won. He's won another soul. Amen?
Amen.
And each and every soul that is saved for one, th-
soul, each and every soul, and all the angels in heaven rejoice.
Right.
So it is like a trophy to God.
It's a trophy. It's something that he's won. He saved another soul. It's through his son.
Right.
His son has caused another soul to have what?
Salvation.
To have eternal life, which is salvation. All right, we're ready for Ephesians 2 and 7.
Ephesians 2 and 7 reads that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Amen. What does that mean?
Alpha, Omega, always, from beginning to end, he's going to show it in his exceeding riches, his grace, his kindness, his love. But through his son, Jesus Christ, he delegated Jesus to save all mankind. He sent
Hallelujah.
Jesus to be the savior of the world.
Hallelujah. Evangelist, does that mean anything to you, or you have a comment about that?
No, I don't. But
I want to read.
With Val.
Say that again.
But you hear yours.
No, you said you agree with her?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mine is 7 to 10. I may not read the whole thing, but it says, now God has us where he wants us, with all the good in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No. We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 7, number 2, 7 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 3. Any comments?
No, you just gave us everything that is what 7 was saying.
Okay. Number 3. God also wanted a people who would do good works in this life and thus give the world a glimpse, albeit imperfect, of God who is good. And we see that in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Which I already read,
but which you already gave us.
Right. So you want to read that again? Ephesians 2
Can
and 10?
Can I ask you something, Barbara?
Yes.
Ephesians 2 and 7, and when you read that behind me, you read the same thing in the message? That was 3 verses instead of 1, and I have 1 verse. And it means the same? I'm asking.
Okay, when I read, the message doesn't break it up into 1 verse, 2 verses, 3. They may give me 3 verses in 1. That's why I said mine came from Ephesians 2, verses 7 through 10. Now, I can't figure out necessarily where verse 7 ends, so I read that whole division that they're giving me. So what I read was more than what you read because it's giving 3 verses instead of 1. And maybe that's why you sometimes misunderstand when you say my Bible is saying something. They're not saying the same thing, but they are. Just in
the
language.
Last Sunday, I couldn't find one of the verses, so I went back to the King James.
Right. So verses 7, was 7 through 10, Ephesians 2 is what I just read instead of just verse 7.
Okay.
And Evangelist, would you read verse 2 and 10? Please.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago.
All right. All right. Thank you.
To God, you're welcome.
And without the salvation Christ provided, these things would not be possible. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Number three, praise His holy name. Amen. The importance of salvation. Why is salvation important?
Well,
it's a matter of life and death.
Valerie, don't cut her off. Let her finish, please.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Val.
No, let me conduct the class, Evangelist. And I want you to finish. She can wait. She has to wait.
Well, without salvation, then we have no life.
So why is it important?
Oh, it's very important because salvation is where our source of being saved from, you know, our sin. So if we have if we're not saved from our sins, then we're lost forever.
All right. All right. Thank you. Valerie, what do you think?
Welcome. Salvation is part of our inheritance. God is such a good God. He says, leave an inheritance for your children's children. And I thought about it. I said, your children's children? That's a lie. And, you know, I said to myself, you know, one thing, like we have to make a choice to leave that inheritance for your children's children, you got to want to do it. And Jesus loves us, and He wants us to have
Valerie, it's a part of our inheritance, salvation. Valerie, it's not a part of our inheritance. How do we get salvation?
God gives us salvation.
How?
We're saved by grace, by faith.
How do you get it? Can you pass it on to your son?
God gives it. No.
No. Okay, so when you say it's inherited, that's a false statement.
By God. And I made a distinction. God is asking us to leave an inheritance, but what we inherit is eternal life from God.
Can you pass that on to Quentin and Stephen?
No, but the scripture says once
so
you get
the inheritance. It's not an inheritance.
It just says something about the family. Once you're saved, your children become saved.
No, Valerie. No.
I'm talking about scripture. Maybe it could
I understand
be interpreted
what you're saying,
and
but,
different ways, but once you get the head right, the tail will follow.
But is salvation inherited?
Well, Sister Barbara, I answered that.
No, it's not.
God gives salvation.
Right.
The inheritance
yes, know that.
Come from
it's a
God.
Gift.
Salvation
it's a
leads
gift.
To eternal life.
That's what
and that's
salvation is, eternal life.
That's an inheritance. Eternal life.
But
you have to have salvation to get there.
No, that's... You inherited from your father. Almighty God. That's what you get
right.
it from.
But you don't get it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You're saying no, no, no.
Let me finish.
But we need
Let me finish.
You, your message needs to line up with the King James too. Because I said the same thing. I'm not saying my Father is going to give me the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus Christ or in God the Father that I could receive salvation for. And in God, in Jesus, the Word of God, which is God, the Word, Jesus Christ and God, is telling me to leave an inheritance for my children's children. Have nothing to do with salvation. Only God saves. So are we on the same
page? All right,
page?
So we were talking about salvation, and you brought up inheriting it and passing it on to generation to generation.
I said it comes with an inheritance. Once we are saved, we receive eternal life, and that's
right.
An inheritance.
From our Father. You
we
made it sound like generations after.
We inherited
you made it
also
sound like
a curse. We inherited a curse from Adam and Eve. And we inherit eternal life through salvation from Jesus Christ, God the Father. And it tells us in his holy word.
And my question was, how do we get this salvation?
God, Jesus saved. Through faith and grace.
Okay. Number three, the importance of salvation. In only two instances does the New Testament pronounce a curse on Christians for failure to do something. One is not loving the Lord, and we see that in 1 Corinthians 16:22. And the other is preaching a gospel other than the gospel of grace of God, Galatians 1:6-9. Valerie, get 1 Corinthians 16:22. Evangelist, get Galatians 1:6-9 when I'm ready. Now comprehending clearly the doctrine of salvation can lead to proclaiming a false or perverted gospel. I'll read that again. Not comprehending, not understanding clearly the doctrine, the teaching of salvation can lead to proclaiming, to espousing a false or perverted gospel, and many statements of the gospel one hears today may well come under this curse. Yet the grace of God overpowers our unclear presentations, and people are saved in spite of, though not as a result of, an unclear and misstated gospel. Valerie, 1 Corinthians 16:22,
read. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha.
Okay, that was first.
I don't know what that means. So.
I didn't hear you.
I don't know what it means.
1 Corinthians 16:22. Let me see what mine says. 16:22. Any comments on that?
I can't comment because I don't understand it. What
16:22 says, if anyone won't love the master, throw him out. Make room for the master. All right? Our master Jesus has his arms wide open for you. And I love all of you in the Messiah, in Jesus. Who's speaking there?
Paul.
Amen. Amen. So what was that word you quoted?
I'm looking up those words. I'm looking up those words.
Okay, great. While you're looking them up, Evangelist, read Galatians 1:6-9, please.
Okay. Galatians 1:6-9. There is only one good news. 6 says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twisted the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Whoa.
Amen. What do you think?
Wow, that is powerful. And,
yes.
And he's talking about the false prophets, right?
The false prophet and the preachers who are preaching the wrong thing.
Absolutely. Wow.
When they preach the wrong thing, he says, let him be cursed.
Yes.
And while Valerie's looking up that animata, okay, I'll be reading. But hold on a minute. Hold on a moment, if you do not mind. I'm going to read Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and the vision is the message. I can believe your fickleness, how easily you have turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message, a different message. It is not a minor variation, you know. It is completely other, an alien message, a no message, a lie about God. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. Let me be blunt. If one of you, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. I said it once, I say it again. If anyone, excuse me, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed. Amen? Talking about preachers saying things that are contrary to what was originally preached. Amen? Okay, Valerie?
Right.
And Amasa. What does it mean?
Oh, that means something that is hated or somebody that is really greatly hated. Somebody. Just very disliked.
Okay.
And so the scripture says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, and that's somebody who is disliked. And then the Maranatha is, in the Catholic Church, it is considered to be the coming of the Lord coming, come, O Lord, or, you know, the Lord is coming. That's Maranatha. Wait, here's a better definition. Relating to someone who has been cursed or excommunicated.
That means thrown out.
Someone, right, excommunicated from the church. And that is, again, in the Catholic religion.
Yes.
Anathema.
Anathema.
Contrary to the teachings of the church.
The old Lord come, Maranatha, 4 days ago in a similar number of English Bible translations, Maranatha is rendered as a statement of the fact of the incarnation of the confession that our, doesn't give anymore. Okay, it's the same thing as a person that's being against the Lord. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be
Anathema or Maranatha. And they seem like the same, you know. And
so that's verse,
God.
That's verse 22.
That's 1 Corinthians
16:22.
Yes.
Okay. Because mine reads, if anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord, come. And the commentary says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. To Paul, this was a wonderful hope, the very best he could look forward to. He was not afraid of seeing Christ. He could hardly wait. Do you share Paul's eager anticipation? Thus, those who love Christ are looking forward to that glorious time of his return, Titus 2:13. To those who do not love the Lord, however, Paul says, let them be cursed.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Praise be to God.
Continuing on, the final paragraph in this chapter, a very short chapter, just 2 pages. Positively, this doctrine is crucial simply because a gospel witness is the responsibility of all believers. But the preacher is even more important, for he is the link between God and the unregenerated person. And his message must be clear. Romans 10:14-15. Valerie, would you get that? Hold that spot. Schaefer, whose ministry began in evangelism, still thought near the end of his life that in a well-balanced ministry, this is in quotations, in a well-balanced ministry, gospel preaching should account for no less than 75% of the pulpit testimony. The remainder may be for the edification of those who are saved, unquote, end quote. This certainly underscores the importance of studying and understanding this great theme of soteriology. And what, again, is soteriology?
Oh.
That's the whole theme of this chapter.
Salvation.
Theology. Amen.
Amen.
Soteriology is talking about a theme of salvation. And unregenerated, what does that word mean? And I'll just read the sentence. For the preacher is even more important, for he is the link between God and the unregenerated person, and his message must be clear.
The unredeemed?
Unrepentant. Unrepentant. The one who has not, what does that mean? Who has not asked, confess his sins or her sins and
right.
Ask forgiveness of God, the unrepentant, and turned around away, did a 180-degree turnaround from that sin. Romans 10:14-15.
Read, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Not heard.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Without a preacher.
Come on.
15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's Romans 10:14-15. I'm going to read mine. 10:14-15, and mine goes to 17. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one, capitalized O-N-E, the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear
if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture explains, a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asked what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care? God. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? Mm. The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. Mm-hmm. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. Amen?
Wow. Amen.
All right, all right. Oh, my Lord.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well put.
So we're going to put a pen right here. This is, what time is it?
7:49.
We're going to stop right here. Any questions?
No, it was a beautiful lesson tonight. I truly enjoyed it. Especially the last one, Romans 10:14 through 18:20 or whatever.
Amen.
Romans 14:15. I like all the way up to 21.
Yes. Yes. So when you get a moment,
that Ephesians 2:7 was something else. No, 22:16-22.
Well, that was 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, that's the one I had to look up.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 16:22.
That's 22. Corinthians.
The first word and the thama meant something that people really detest, like or a person.
Mm-hmm.
And in the scripture, it starts out, if you love not Christ, you are this type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So it related it to a person who do not love Christ, an antichrist, a blasphemer.
Amen. Amen.
And then the other word means something like a curse.
Which other word is that?
Uh-huh. Excuse me?
You said the other word. What word are you referring to?
It was related to, manathalma.
Wait. Okay. I thought that's what you meant.
Yeah, the second. So I'm not pronouncing it right. So I know.
It's okay. We got you. You understand your point.
Yeah, but it meant like a curse, you know, or a cursed person or something, you know, the person.
So
that
when
will curse.
Is it considered that a person is cursed?
No, it's more like. Let me look. I think it's more like.
I'm asking a different question, Valerie. I'm not talking about that. When is it considered that a person is cursed? Hello?
Well, I don't know nothing about person. All I know is that because...
Okay, so we want the question answered. If you don't have a comment on what I'm asking, then you don't need to comment right now.
I am commenting on a curse. What I know about a curse, it's simple. It's simple. It's not taking the word for granted. It's that Adam and Eve were very disobedient, and we inherited death, and the men inherited hard work.
Okay, so get back to, that's true. Getting back to what we just read tonight.
And one more thing, pain and birthing. The woman inherited all that pain and birthing.
Right, got that.
Of Adam and Eve.
So what is being cursed, not going way back to Genesis to Adam and Eve, what is being cursed in the modern day situation? Evangelist, you have any thoughts about that?
I'm thinking about the curse in today's society is people doing
evil and wicked things to one another. You know, like we had a incident here at the train station where...
Yeah, I saw that at Mount Eaton.
Yeah, but I don't think that's... Is that a curse or is that just plain wickedness or evil?
That's evil, but that was between, I think they said, possibly two gangs. But getting away from the current events and getting back to the lesson, what was considered a curse? Animata, what was that?
The curse or explanation and an adjective relating to someone who has been cursed or excommunicated.
The curse was considered someone who's preaching the wrong thing.
Okay.
All right, and he's telling the people that are listening, the congregants, the wrong information, as Paul said. If they're not preaching what was originally preached or taught to them, they are animata. All right,
okay.
So Mount Eden and Adam and Eve, yes, we inherited the curse from them because they were rebellious. Excuse me. But the modern-day topic of this particular lesson was saying how we are cursed when we preach anything other than the gospel.
Okay.
And the gospel is what? What is the gospel? We talk about that frequently.
The gospel is God's word.
The good news. That's what gospel means, the good news. When we fail to tell people about the good news, when we put our own interpretation into and oftentimes change what the original doctrine is about the good news and salvation and stuff. And sometimes it's done unintentionally. The one speaking may not comprehend themselves what they're talking about, and they will say things that are not quite right. Amen? Even then, the curse still will fall on them because they espousing the wrong information. Amen. And it can turn people away.
That's
yes,
true.
I heard somebody about them.
But I don't understand why, if you're not sure, you're not certain, why be so adamant about saying, you're wrong, that's not in the Bible, if you're not 100% certain?
Because they think they're right. They think they're right when they go through that, Valerie, and we know that from experience.
Okay.
When people say things and they don't want to hear the other person because they're so set in what they believe, what they want to say, they don't even hear the other person.
Wait, that sounds self-righteousness, the way you said they
and
think
so
they're right.
The word of God is really not something to be argued or debated. It's either you believe or you don't believe. We don't have to prove a point.
Well,
let me finish, please.
Okay.
What we have
but
to
I wasn't
do.
Finished.
Okay,
I
but
wasn't
let me finish.
Finished. I just wanted
okay,
to,
but
I
let me finish.
Question,
what we
to
need to do is read the word for ourselves and get an understanding from what we're reading. All right, and if we don't know, then we have to study even deeper, or in fact, consult someone that does know. We have
well,
to consult people that are learned already.
If I don't know something, I'm not going to be adamant about, oh, that's not in the Bible. You don't know what you're talking about. If I'm not certain 100%.
Right.
But when
that's
you
good.
Ask a question about the Bible, I mean the gospel, you know, people come with different perspectives sometimes. And you can't just say, oh, you're wrong because you didn't see it the way I saw it. When you said that,
you can't do that about anything.
I'm answering the question. In my mind, when you said, what is the gospel, I thought of the first five books in the New Testament. That's the gospel, too, right?
That's the word of God, yes. That's the good news.
But isn't it, like, some of the books are considered different things. Like, these are the books of the prophets. These are the books of
the whole
of
Bible,
Lord.
Valerie.
These are the books of Paul.
The whole
yeah, yeah.
Bible is considered the good news, not just
okay.
the first five books of the New Testament.
Right.
The Bible is the good news.
I'm just saying, though, that's what came to my mind when you said, what's
okay.
the gospel?
But now you know. Now you know. It's the whole book.
If you said, what's the Torah, what the Jews believe in, I would think of the first few books in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the first thing would come to my mind.
And that's their Bible.
I'm just saying the different books in the Bible that fall into different categories. And those books, those first two books in the New Testament are considered the Gospels.
You're not wrong, but the whole Bible is the good news. The whole Bible is the good news.
It's only the Jews, the Orthodox Jews that believe in just the Torah.
We're not talking about that.
I believe that too. I believe exactly that
okay.
too.
Okay. All right.
Answering the question about the gospel.
I just answered it. It's the good news.
Well, good. I got you.
That's what the gospel is. The good news.
I understand.
Okay. So we're gonna close here unless there's another comment or question. It's 8:00. You want to check us out?
Didn't you say that you guys wanted a meeting today?
Oh, well, with the three of us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's close out first, and then we can do something else.
Okay.
Do we have prayer to close us out?
Precious and Heavenly Father, once again we come to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, and thank you for this night, Lord God. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for our teachers. We thank you for all the information that was received tonight, Lord God. We thank you for just letting us come on one accord, even when we don't agree with each other, Lord God, but you always find a way to bring it to clarity, and we are so grateful and thankful for that, Lord God. We thank you for life, for strength, health, wisdom, understanding. We thank you for just waking us up this morning in our right mind to see a beautiful, beautiful, sunny, and snowy day, Lord God. We just so happy to see this snow.
Yeah.
Even though, Lord God, some complain that they don't want snow, but you are in control of everything, and we're just so grateful. We love you. We honor and adore you, Lord God. Bless our homes. Bless our families. Bless our neighbors, Lord God, and even bless our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you again for everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do, Lord God. We ask that you heal those who need a healing, touch those who need touching, Lord, bless those who need a blessing. And Lord God, we ask that you increase each and every one of our finances, Lord God. Let it be what you would have it to be.
Thank you.
Thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory, and we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let it be all of you and none of us. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for that prayer on our behalf.
Amen.
All right, so just one more comment when we start again. Next week, it'll be chapter 49. As I said, we finished chapter 48 tonight, talking about soteriology, right? Which is, again, salvation.
Chapter 49 is terminology?
It's next week.
Okay.
It's next week.
Yeah. Okay, though. Gotcha.
This was soteriology. This was the chapter about salvation. Why we have it, why God sent it, you know, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to talk about our Daniel fast. Any particular concerns?
No, I think my concern was the fact that, you know, I can't put honey in my sugar, honey in my
coffee, and I can't have coffee unless it's decaffeinated. But then I was told that I can have tea, herbal tea,
mm-hmm.
So, or ginger tea.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can only have, like, fresh ginger because the other, the dry ginger tea has sugar in it.
Yes, yes. And yes, we have
so
to be careful with the labels. Read the
read
the ingredients. If you're not
right.
sure, if you didn't get it off the vegetable stand or in the produce section, you got to read the labels.
Okay.
And just put it aside. It's only 10 days. It's not like it's a, you know, a 40-day fast. It's just 10 days.
Yeah. So I just think that, Evangelist, we try and we drink our black coffee and we try to stick to the rules, but now we know better. We just do better because I got the decaffeinated. I'm not going to put sugar. I just want coffee. I don't care how they do it. But, you know, we did it black. So now I'm doing it black and decaffeinated.
I'm trying
my best to stick to the diet. I'm only using olive oil. I'm not frying nothing up. I'm just stir, stirring it up. I call it stir. Well, anyway,
with the oil, we can put things in the oven and put a little olive oil on top of the potatoes or, you know, the string beans or the broccoli, whatever, the cauliflower. You can put drizzle a little bit. We don't want to bathe it and you know, but you can put a little oil on certain eggplant and put it in the oven. And if you like a little crispiness to it, that's going to do that for you. All right,
okay.
But we don't do potato chips and we don't do French fries and, you know, we're not going to take a frying pan and fry up some potato. No, that's out. That's out.
Okay.
But we can bake things.
But we can.
Anybody come up with any good recipes, just let me know, too. Because
Nadine sent that. I don't know if you received it, but Nadine sent the recipes.
She sent it out to all of us with the different diets. The different diets.
You didn't get them?
You know, when you're hungry, those vegetables taste so good.
You didn't get the recipes?
I got the recipes. I saw some.
Okay, well, there you go. You got the recipes, so use them.
Mm.
Yeah,
especially the salads. That salad looks so good. I didn't even know we could have but then it said avocado on the list of things. So now I will get me some avocado to put with my salad.
Mhm. But again, I know some people do guacamole, and it's already made. But that's processed. We don't want to do that. Make your own guacamole if you have to use it.
I want to eat some Brussels sprouts, something I don't use.
That's what I said.
That I like.
But you could do the guacamole if you make it yourself, not the boy.
Right.
The
anything.
One that's,
what I'm saying. Anything that's not processed is fine. But if we're getting stuff, you know, in jars and in cans, no, that's not for now.
Exactly.
Not for now.
All
right.
Fresh vegetables and vegetables.
Right.
Yep.
And read the labels if you're not sure. And even if you are sure, read them just in case, because sometimes, you know, you forget or you didn't realize they slipped some sugar in whatever, you know.
Yeah, that is so true. You got to look for that sugar grams in there.
Right.
If it says 0 grams of sugar, then you can have it. But if it says 1 gram, no.
You can't have it. And really all you need to do is read the ingredients. Read whatever they put in the whatever. And we don't need to be reading too many ingredients because we're going to do mostly, like I said, fresh produce.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
And fruits.
And I have four containers of strawberries today. Oh, my God. I washed those strawberries down. I put them in the freezer bags and put them in the refrigerator. Oh, I'm going to be snacking on my...
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Four containers.
The thing about it is they're not sweet. You know, they're semi-sweet.
Yeah, they probably not in season. They're not in season is what it is.
Exactly.
I got my sneakers by the door.
But what I'm thinking,
I got my sneakers by the door planning to go out and get something fresh every day or every other day.
So what I'm thinking with the strawberries, I don't know if you can freeze them, and maybe when you finish with the fast, maybe you can put a little sugar on them. I don't know how they're going to freeze. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I use them in smoothies.
Okay,
that's
good.
Put a little sugar. What did you say? Put a little sugar on it. You said put a little sugar on it.
I said when you finish with the Daniel fast.
Oh, yeah.
But she's got so many, I was saying she could freeze them. And even with that, if she's going to make smoothies, she can still freeze some. She had four boxes of them or something, you know,
four
containers.
Yeah.
Right, so you might not be able to use all of it without it going bad.
Listen,
so I would say, you know, especially.
Everything should be good.
Okay, all right, so that's... Problem eliminated. That's not going to be a thing.
My blender is on the blink. I was like, all these years I had this Ninja blender, and all of a sudden it just cocked out on me. Because you know what happens when you blend it so many times? It's like the containers are plastic. It's not glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the things, once you click it down and turn it and lock it, so when it's blending, it like rubs the plastic till it gets thinner and thinner, and then it gets to the point where it can't blend no more.
Oh.
Yeah.
So unless you go out and get another blender, I mean, you can't do your smoothies. Unless you have a blender.
That's what I said. I can't do any smoothies or anything until I get to the stores to get another blender.
Okay.
Evangeline, let me ask you, did you get the battery you need for your scale? And Sister Barbara, should we share our weight or just take our weight?
I will put it down, and if you want to share it, it's up to you. But the main thing is to know how much. The main thing is to know how much weight you lost.
Right.
Okay, if you want to share it, that's fine. If not, it's fine too. But you can give us a total number at the end of the time. You don't have to share the weight unless you want to. All right.
Well, okay. You said weight today and weight tomorrow, right?
Weight tomorrow. You can wait tonight too if you want, but we want to wait the start of the fast.
Yes.
And of course, pray. You know.
Mm-hmm. So did you get the battery yet?
No, ma'am.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm gonna look. I'm gonna look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you won't get to weigh yourself then, right, Evangeline?
Oh yeah, I will. I'll go down the hall to my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
And
get
ask
your
to
neighbor.
Use her scale.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good. But so when are we gonna come together to pray? Maybe tomorrow night after the class?
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
To be a start, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll work.
And then we'll pick another time. But at least, you know, two or three times during this fast would be great, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 6 o'clock tomorrow, God willing.
God's willing.
And let's see. Let's see how it goes.
Amen. And now I'm excited all over again. When I did the 21 days, I was like, oh, I was counting the days.
I know that's right.
So, Sister Barbara, I think we were so busy getting through the fast
that when we came off of it, we was like, oh, my God, now what could we eat? Because, like, you got to go without the food, and we had more hours. And he got us doing more hours, too. You're like, when you wake up, start fasting. So that makes it's going to be more hours. But,
Yeah, but
then when
still,
you break the fast, now that we're getting more prepared because we did some, you know, preparing
some research.
So, but before I was coming off the fast, we were like, what? Nothing we can eat. We gonna eat. So we did.
Well, I ate fish when I came off the fast. I went and
that's
got me
good.
Some fish, honey.
That's good. You baked it?
I did too.
Think what? I went straight to the chicken spot and told that man, me the salad with the fried fish.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. See, because like I said, I'm not near the supermarkets and things, and I don't get to go out to like buy the fish. But what I'm going to do normally, when the weather gets warm, then I can go out because then my body doesn't hurt me as much as the winter time.
Oh.
Because in the winter time, you know, it's like everything, it feels so tight and stiff, and even just to get off the bed is hard.
Oh,
but in the summertime, you know, I'll jump right on up and get myself ready, Chico, so I don't have to put on a whole lot of clothes. But when you know, in the wintertime, you got to put on all these clothes, and then Chico is impatient because he got to go. You know, and then sometimes we don't make it outside. He'll go right in the elevator.
Okay.
But, you know, summertime, I'm a little more looser than I am in the winter. Yeah, it depends on my nerves, you know. Like, I got
to
go see.
Hear.
Yeah, I have to see
y'all. Well, I love you, ladies, and God bless you. And I don't want to say good luck, but I'm just saying God bless you on the staff.
You too.
And may you receive the desires of your heart.
From 9 to 12?
9 to 12. And I'll be going along with Barbara trying to just stop eating as soon as we get up and just go right on the fast. But
the fast is not. If I can just say something, if I can just say something, it's not just to stop eating, it's that you don't break the fast. You don't start eating. So from the time you wake up, you take your shower, wash up, or whatever you do, after you brush your teeth, that's when the fast starts. All right? If it's 5 a.m., if it's 9 a.m., that's when the fast starts. And you can break the fast, which is eating something at 12 o'clock, okay?
At 12,
Now, we didn't say.
Barbara, you can personalize it because if you can't do a certain thing, you take a medication, or you can personalize it, and it's fine. And I'm going to go along with the way you personalize. But if you set a time, when you break that fast, is you're eating during that time, you set that too fast. Now, breaking the fast is not breaking the fast because you're adding extra hours to it. It's eating during the time you set for the fast.
We're the only ones doing it, just the three of us?
Yeah.
No, I don't know who else is joining or who's going to try. But we're
the only one.
Nobody else is doing it.
Oh, but wait a minute. Yes, Dr. Diane said she was going to do it.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Diane.
You got to find out if she's going to do it.
I'm going to call her right now when I get off
the
phone.
Let her know that it's from the time. Let her know it's from the time you wake up until 12 noon. But we didn't say a certain amount of hours. That, too, we didn't say. Because, again, let me finish. Let me finish. That, again, if somebody wakes up at 12 noon, they can't start eating. Okay? They have to do it for a certain amount. That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say, Valerie. If you would just be quiet for a moment and allow me to express what I'm trying to express, I would appreciate it even the more. What I'm saying is we didn't say how many hours in that. If you do it from 9 to 12, that's 3 hours, right? 9, 10, mm-hmm. 11, 12. We didn't say that if you wake up at 12, you do it from 9 to from 12 to 3. That we didn't specify. No. Okay,
well, if you wake up,
Valerie,
through the fashion while you step through the fashion
line,
so you
Valerie, I gotta
go.
Later.
Okay, Val. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Have a good night.
She hung up. Good night, Val.
Good night.